Okay, the next argued case is number 22-1447, Bean against McDonough, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Ms. Zajac.
Thank you.
You're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Jennifer Zajac, and I represent the veteran, Wilfred D. Bean, in his pursuit of VA disability benefits based on service connection for generalized anxiety and major depressive disorder. The Veterans Court had jurisdiction to address this issue, and this court has the authority to review whether it had jurisdiction based on Cook. Mr. Bean is before the court today following a Veterans Court decision that ignored Cogburn, Clemens, and Travelstead, and that 38 USC 7104A requires the board to address all questions in a matter.
Let me ask you one question to sort of get to the end here. In your brief, when you sought mandamus, you asked for an order directing. Well, let me ask you, is that the first time you represent Mr. Bean when he appealed to the Veterans Court?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, all right. You sought mandamus and you said send it back for a decision on the unadjudicated claims, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
But now it looks to me like in your brief, you're asking us to, you say the court should therefore reverse the Veterans Court's decision and order the VA to grant Mr. Bean his service-connected benefits. I don't think we have the authority to do that. I think if we agree with you, we could vacate the decision of the Veterans Court and remand for further proceedings as appropriate. But I don't think we can grant the benefits, order the VA to grant the benefits. Wouldn't you agree? That's beyond our jurisdiction.
Your Honor, I think in certain cases, this court has gone beyond just remanding. For example, in Cushman, this court crafted a remedy that was applicable for that particular case. And in another case recently, this court remanded not just back to the Veterans Court, but then remanded with specific instructions for the board to remand to the regional office to address this issue. When this court is looking at its jurisdiction to...
Well, yes, I agree to address the issue, but you ask us to... We order the VA to grant Mr. Bean his service-connected benefits. We can't do that.
I believe that the court has the authority to do so, and under the broad language of that remand as appropriate, and the remand would be to order the benefits to be granted because the regional office has already made all the factual findings that are necessary for the remand to, for the grant to take place. The regional office already found that Mr. Bean had an anxiety diagnosis while in service. The regional office has already found that he has the current diagnosis, and the regional office has already found that there is a connection between the two. That all of these steps have taken place, the regional office just hasn't put it all together to give him the grant. They've never made this decision, and since it has all taken place, the idea to remand it back with instructions for it to re-adjudicate something that it, in a different scenario, has already adjudicated seems like a waste of everybody's time.
The first presentation of the claim for current disability based on anxiety, depression, in your view, was when?
1997, Your Honor.
And suppose we didn't think that that was right, let alone whether, you know, we can think about whether it's right. What would be the next occasion when that claim was made?
In 2007, Your Honor, when Mr. Bean comes back and requests that the regional office reopen the claim for PTSD, he also specifically makes a claim for anxiety and depression, and the VA even acknowledges this in the letter that it sent to him, colloquially the VCAI letter. It acknowledges that there is a separate claim for anxiety and depression, but that regional office decision that granted him PTSD doesn't bother to ever address the separate issue.
Would it be a benefit, I mean in a colloquial sense, to Mr. Bean if he got relief in the form that as of 2007 or 6, he had in fact a claim for anxiety, depression, caused disability, and that has never been adjudicated? Or does any benefit to Mr. Bean depend on that claim having gone back to his 1997 filings?
Your Honor, the benefit to Mr. Bean, if it was this court was to find that the claim was starting in 2006, 2007, would be a separate service connection, and the rater could determine whether the symptomatology that he is expressing with the depression and with the anxiety is separate from the already granted service connection for PTSD, which there's several medical opinions that say that these symptoms are separate. And so he could be receiving service connection for both, and that's under Boggs, that the idea is that these are not all just service connection for mental disability, but are specific diagnoses that are entitled to service connection.
So it could provide an incremental benefit to
yes.
him. I see. Okay.
So Mr. Bean's claim here is really quite simple. After waiting for the decision since 1997, he wrote in 2012 to the Secretary that he had unadjudicated pending claims, just like this court recently stated he should do in May. And as the Veterans Court also instructed him to do in DiCarlo and Ingram, the regional office did issue a decision in response to his filing, but failed to address the specific question that Mr. Bean has raised. Why do I not have a decision yet on service connection for anxiety and depression?
Okay, look, can I just, it seems to me that the Veterans Court here said, in the reconsideration opinion, we don't have jurisdiction to address whether that the contention that Mr. Bean had an unadjudicated claim because the board didn't rule on that. Assume that that's just incorrect as a matter of law, because the Veterans Court obviously has jurisdiction to address a claim that was made to the board, that the board, and the argument is to the Veterans Court, the board incorrectly declined to consider it. Then the question is, take as a premise for this, that at least that much is wrong and it needs to go back. What more, maybe short of award Mr. Bean benefits, can or should we do?
Short of awarding him the benefits outright, the other ideal remedy would be to remand for the Veterans Court with orders to remand to the board, to remand to the regional office to issue a decision on Mr. Bean's claim for service connection for anxiety and depression.
And it seemed to me that the next option to consider after saying the Veterans Court got it wrong and saying it didn't have jurisdiction, that the Veterans Court has to say, was this claim in front of the board? I'm not actually sure there's any dispute at all about that. So perhaps the next would be to remand to the board for the board to consider the contention that Mr. Bean had an unadjudicated claim, whether it's a 1997 claim or a 2007 claim, for service-connected disability benefits based on anxiety depression.
The board actually acknowledges that that claim was made and had the opportunity to make that statement and just decided not to do so. So if everybody is in agreement that there is the Veterans Court had jurisdiction to tell the board to go back and do what it was supposed to do, then that would be an alternative remedy to say to the board, you need to address this. But there's case law that says if the board believes that there's a pending claim, the correct remedy for the board is to actually remand it for the regional office to adjudicate it in the first instance.
Well, but that's an argument that you could make to the board, right?
That it should remand?
Yes.
Yes?
Well, to be clear, what is the ultimate relief that's being requested? Is it to take the 100% rating back to 1997?
No, Your Honor. It would be to take the 70% rating back to 1997. From the standpoint of he receives the 100% rating based on total disability, individual unemployability, and in 1990, I'm sorry.
No, you wouldn't touch the date for the 100%. You just take the 70% back?
Yes, Your Honor.
What's requested?
Yes. At the point in time that Mr. Bean makes this original claim, he was still working. So the TDIU would not go back all the way.
Can I ask you this? So there was an April 2020 regional office rejection of a CUE claim. And in the course of that rejection, the regional office said, Mr. Bean did not, in fact, have an unadjudicated claim. That regional office decision of April 2020 is final because it's not, it wasn't appealed. Why does that not stand in the way that, that it's the finality of that regional office determination? Why does that not stand in the way of any further contention on your part that Mr. Bean did, in fact, have an unadjudicated claim?
Couple responses, Your Honor. First would be by raising the issue to the board before that regional office decision even came out, Mr. Bean put the question of whether he has unadjudicated pending claims into appellate status. And so the only way that that particular issue can become final is with a board decision. The regional office can't assess that because the board hasn't made a decision on that particular part of the issue. Second would be Mr. Bean didn't raise this claim. This was a construction of the regional office. And so to attribute what the regional office did on its own without Mr. Bean making that claim.
I'm sorry, what, making what claim?
What the regional office considered to be a motion for revision on based on CUE for the pending, that the 97 rating decision did not consider whether he had a pending claim. The Mr. Bean didn't raise this at no point, and it legally doesn't actually make sense because the 97 claim is the original claim, and so there wouldn't ever be any clear and unmistakable error of a pending claim with the original claim. And finally,
because the one necessary premise for clear and unmistakable error is a decision that was clearly and unmistakably erroneous. And you're saying right. There just was never a decision.
Exactly.
Did I understand that right? Okay.
And then my final point would be that the regional office's statement has to be read in the context of what the regional office was trying to decide, which was a motion for clear and unmistakable error. And so the review of that is entirely different than what the regional office or the board would do when you're considering looking back at whether the issue has actually been pending and looking for moving forward. The regional office in that April 2020 decision overstepped its bounds by even making a decision or making any sort of statement regarding that because the issue was before the board and therefore in appellate status and the regional office couldn't touch it.
You're saying, Ms. Ajak, basically, in your view, the April 4, 2020 decision that you've been discussing with Judge Toronto is really not relevant because the issue of a pending unadjudicated claim was already before the board, or it had been before the board in 2019, because Mr. Bean had gone back following the board's 2012 suggestion to the RO, had said, citing the Q regulation, I have an unadjudicated claim. It was denied. He got an SOC out of it, and then he came back up. So you're saying we don't need to think about the April 2020 decision.
Exactly, Your Honor. Exactly.
Okay, let's hear from the other side.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. The court should either dismiss for lack of jurisdiction or affirm. We actually agree with opposing counsel that the regional office has already made all of the relevant determinations that need to be made in this case. They've actually decided 5 times explicitly on the record that there was no pending unadjudicated claim related to depression or anxiety in 1997. Let me step back a little bit to the timeline.
I'm sorry, just to be clear, but the board has not.
No, the board has as well, Your Honor. The board decided that question in 2012. And that's at Appendix 335, where the board discusses the fact that Mr. Bean had been raising this issue that he had a pending unadjudicated claim. And the board said, the veteran has complained that in 1997, this is in 2012, this is the board decision that Mr. Bean never appealed. Okay, so this became final. The only way to overturn this 2012 board decision is through some kind of a Q claim. The board said the veteran has complained that in 1997, the RO failed to consider evidence that he was treated for nervousness and anxiety. And then it goes on and discusses the fact that he's raising this issue, that he has, that he had anxiety and nervousness in 1997. And then it says if the veteran believes the RO made a mistake, he can allege Q in the 1997 RO decision. But before that, in 2008, this is at Appendix 482, the regional office in its statement of the case also considered and discussed Mr. Bean's assertion that he had a pending unadjudicated claim and determined...
Let me ask you, though. You've correctly quoted what the board said at 335, but then as I read it, basically the board's offering Mr. Bean a suggestion. The board's saying, if you think you have an unadjudicated claim, go and raise a Q claim, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay. So... He then, it seems to me, does that in July of 2012 at Appendix 310. He goes back to the RO and he specifically cites the Q regulation, 38 CFR 3.105A, and he says in that little paragraph there on the form 21-1438, I have an unadjudicated claim. He loses on that. The board says, no, you don't. And I'm sorry, the RO says, no, you don't. And explains, points out that he doesn't have any unadjudicated claim. And then he goes back up to the board. So the board now, in 2019, is sitting there with sort of Mr. Bean coming back after following the board's suggestion that he go get the claim. So it seems to me that the unadjudicated claim issue is before the board in 2019.
Your Honor, I take issue only with the way that you're reading Appendix 310, I think is what you were citing, the language, his 21-4138 submission. He,
what page, please?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Appendix 310. So, Judge Shaw is talking about the fact that he went to the regional office after the board issued its decision in 2012 and said that he did not consider and rejected the notion that he had a pending unadjudicated claim. Right. And he attempts to submit a Q claim. I think it's safe to say that this is...
He cites the reg.
But... The language that he says, when and Q claims have to be specific, he says, I am requesting that the VA reconsider the issue of the effective date assigned for my service-connected post-traumatic stress disorder under the provisions of 38 CFR 3.105. So he...
Yeah, but
then
he says down at the bottom, he says, as I have previously stated, I believe the VA's failure to address the unadjudicated claim. And remember, he's proceeding pro se at this point.
He's represented by a veterans organization, but he's not represented by an attorney at this point in time. So,
and it seems to me that the board had before it this claim, and then it seems to me that the board kind of misreads what was before it in its 2019 decision.
So, I mean, the big issue with that observation, Your Honor, is that's way beyond the jurisdiction of this court to consider, because the scope of a claim is a fact question.
But our jurisdiction here turns on what was before the board.
It turns on that the board made a determination looking at his submissions that he was raising a Q claim with respect to the earlier effective date for PTSD. The cases that they talk about, that the Ingram line of cases, they all presuppose that there's a reasonable inference from the record. Like, if the board is going to assume greater jurisdiction than the plain language of his submission, where he's requesting, he's asserting Q with respect to the effective date of PTSD, the board would have to conclude that the record reasonably raised this other issue. But the regional office in 2008, and then again in 2010, had specific, and I want to be specific about their finding, because they said there was no indication in 1997, and this is in 2008, this is a finding of the regional office, a factual finding, there's no indication that you were claiming service connection for any other disability, and the examination, so there was only one examination on the record in 1997 that the regional office was considering. And the redraw.
Let me stop you there and tell you what seems to me to be unfortunate about this case. Here, in 1997, the claim is brought. The RO holds, you didn't make your case. It doesn't appeal. 10, 15, and 20 years later, he brings the claim again, and it's granted with progressively increasing levels of disability. Essentially saying that, yes, we must have made a mistake in 1997. Maybe it wasn't our fault. We didn't bring in enough evidence. But it was the same claim, the same disability that was ultimately held to be compensable. So what's before us is, therefore, why shouldn't the compensation go back to when this claim was first brought to the attention of the VA, which differentiates it from all of our cases, which hold that, yes, you're entitled to a degree of retroactivity, but only measuring from when you first bring the claim. He first brought the claim, but lost and didn't appeal. Now we have all sorts of elaborate, I would say, incomprehensible to the layman of when you can bring to, when you can appeal this, when you can appeal that, things that I think even now not everyone practicing in this field has deciphered. But there's a fundamental policy question here. Is there not? This claim was officially brought to the VA's attention. It took them 20 years to say, yes, we got it wrong 20 years ago. And isn't the only question now as to what's to be done to compensate the veteran?
Your Honor, I would only take issue with the one statement of fact that you just made. The VA did not say, we got it wrong in 1997. The VA has never said that.
No one says we got it wrong. They just came up with a different answer on exactly the same disability.
No, I'm only pointing that is because it's very important, right? So this court, the big case on finality was the en banc decision from this court in 2002 in Cook v. Principe.
Does the VA's position depend on whether he was able to prove they made a mistake in 1997? I think, according to the record, was not as fully developed. So it's hard to say that on the evidence presented, it was wrong. But the ailment, the disability, is the same. So in retrospect, if he has it now, as is agreed, he had to have had it then.
Your Honor, again, this goes back to the basic case law as well established with respect to clear and unmistakable error. The VA looked at new medical evidence in 2006 and 7 when he reopened his claim. That new medical evidence was not part of the record in 1997. This court looked at this question in 2002 and said, you cannot, a failure to assist in developing a claim cannot constitute Q. And the reason is because of statutory interpretation. The court looked at the fact that if Congress wanted to create another exception to finality, it could have done so, but it only provided two possible avenues for overturning a decision that has not been appealed, Q, and to assert Q, or to reopen the claim. So Mr. Bean only has two options, or during this process, he only had two options under the law for overturning that decision that he did not appeal in 1997. And he pursued one of those options, which was to reopen his claim. But the problem is, when you reopen the claim, you cannot then assign a compensation for the date preceding the date when you reopen the claim. The only option he has for getting compensation between 1997 and 2006, and when he reopened his claim, was through some sort of a Q claim with respect to that PTSD determination. Now he's pursuing a third possible option here. He's asserting, as a matter of fact, that in 1997, he also had another claim that was not adjudicated by the RO. That's a fact question. And the RO specifically looked at that fact question way back in 2008, again in 2010. The board looked at that question in 2012. The RO looked at that question again in 2015, and then again in 2020. Five times on the record, the RO looked at that question and said, no, in 1997, you did not have a separate unadjudicated claim for depression or anxiety.
So I want to take the RO out of the picture of this at the moment and just ask, has the board said you did not have a unadjudicated claim based on anxiety, depression in your 1997 claim? I don't think it has said that. The 335, Appendix 335, says you say that. If you want to pursue that, go this other route. It doesn't say, and you did not, in fact, have that. The 2015, this is Appendix A49, appeal to the board that resulted in the 2019 board decision is extremely clear, saying, I have this unadjudicated claim. The board in 2019 doesn't rule on it. The Veterans Court on reconsideration says, we don't have jurisdiction because the board didn't rule on it. That proposition, that the Veterans Court doesn't have jurisdiction to hear a contention that the board failed to rule on something, that's incorrect as a matter of law, right?
You're talking about the Veterans Court's decision.
The decision that we are now reviewing, yes.
So the finding, I think I read their finding a little bit differently. I don't think I disagree with you, but the Veterans Court simply made a fact determination that the claim stream in the board's 2019 decision only dealt with the effective date of post-traumatic stress disorder. Now that's a fact determination. It sounds like you would disagree with, but that's the fact determination.
The appeal to the board at A49 expressly says, I have this problem with the PTSD, and I separately have a unadjudicated claim. That contention was before the board. The board didn't rule on it. It's not correct, is it, as a matter of law, for the Veterans Court to say that because the board didn't rule on it, we don't have jurisdiction to consider whether it was incorrect that the board didn't rule on it.
Well, the Veterans Court is talking about the fact that it can only consider a claim that has been presented to the board. So it's also looking at the
claim was presented to the board. The Veterans Court, as I read the 2019 decision, it misread, I think, what was before it. It talks about seeking reconsideration of a board decision. There's all this discussion. You didn't properly.
I'm sorry.
See,
you're in 2019.
2019 decision. You didn't. It says, Mr. Bean, you didn't properly seek reconsideration of the board decision. But he wasn't seeking reconsideration of the board. He had made it very clear he was seeking a determination from the board after he appealed from the RO to which the board had sent him by suggestion. He's saying, address my unadjudicated claim issue. And it was squarely there. Don't you agree, Mr. Singh, that the unadjudicated claim issue was before the board, following up on your discussion with Judge Toronto?
I disagree, Your Honor, because the claim that he made in 2012, after the board decision,
after the board suggested he make a Q claim.
He made a Q claim. And his Q claim, and so that's where the law about the
and the Q claim, you look at the document, it includes both the effective date, and he also addresses, he says, I have these unadjudicated claims, right?
He talks
and the board,
about
it. Okay, that's point one. Point two, then the board denies that. I'm sorry, the RO denies it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Your Honor.
Then he comes up to the board, and he says, the RO turned me down on the unadjudicated claims. Here's my unadjudicated claim contention, right?
Right, and that's...
So we agreed now He has presented the unadjudicated claim contention to the board, right?
He's talking about it, but he's not. He's appealing a Q claim that was about the PTSD decision.
But no, the Q claim, the document, and Judge Toronto walked us through it, and I mentioned it earlier. It clearly refers at the bottom to his unadjudicated claim. I think it's a little bit of a crabbed reading to say that the reference to the Q regulation in that document only is talking about a better effective date. I mean, remember, I'm amazed this Mr. Bean got as far as he did pro se for so long. But he says, he cites the Q regulation, and he makes two statements. One, effective date, and two, unadjudicated claim.
He's filing a Q claim and asking for an earlier effective date for PTSD. And again, in 2006...
And he's also filing a Q claim with respect to unadjudicated claims. That's what the board had told him to do. The board said in 2012, if you've got this...
None of the fact finders in this record have concluded that, Your Honor. The fact finding that was done at the board, at the Veterans Court, the board level, was that his claim was related to the...
But you read the board's 2012 decision. It says if you think you have an unadjudicated claim, go back to the RO.
It says if you think there's something wrong with if you think there's something wrong with 1997, you can file a Q claim.
Yeah,
now it's debatable whether he could do that because again, what are we talking about? We're talking about possible error that the RO made.
They said that statement though, but I think they said that statement respectfully in response to his arguments about an unadjudicated claim. I mean,
in 2012, in his decision that he didn't appeal, where they rejected that argument.
Yeah, they didn't. He didn't appeal because he followed the board's suggestion and went back to the RO. The board said, if you think you've got an unadjudicated claim, go back to the RO. And that's what he did. And then the RO denied it, and he came back up to the board, and there he is in 2019, and the board just overlooks the fact that the unadjudicated claim that it told him to address before the RO is now back up before it. I can't come to any of the different reading.
Well, again, that's a factual determination that you're making about the extent
of his
claim.
Yeah, but we have to look, as Judge Toronto was saying, we have to determine what was properly before the board. In other words, if there was something properly before the board, the Veterans Court should have addressed it.
Well, as a matter of law, that issue definitely was not properly before the board, okay? Because the 2012, if that he needed to either ask for reconsideration on the board's 2012 decision or appeal the board's 2012 decision or assert Q in the 2012 decision.
He wasn't challenging the board's decision.
He has to, though, as a matter of law.
No, the board told him to go back.
The board says... If the veteran believes that the RO made a mistake in its decision, he can file a claim alleging clear and unmistakable error in the 1997 RO decision. It doesn't say, go file a Q claim with respect to your anxiety or depression question.
Context,
it says that
I think
there's no unadjudicated claim.
But I think in the context of the discussion, it's hard to escape the conclusion that what they were talking about was the unadjudicated claim. I mean, you have to look at it in the context of the dialogue that had been going on.
Okay, Your Honor. I mean, you potentially disagree with the VA fact finders on how they've interpreted this decision of the board.
What if we conclude that the board erred in concluding what it had before it?
Okay, that would be, you would be stepping beyond your jurisdictional boundaries to make a fact determination about the extent of the claim. I think that's our legal position. I think at most this could be remanded to the Veterans Court to reconsider that issue. But the problem is that at the end of the day, he doesn't have a lot of the ultimate fact determination that they're asking somebody to make. about whether or not there's an unadjudicated pending claim in 1997 has already been conclusively determined in appeals that he, in decisions that he didn't appeal. So, I mean, he would have to assert some kind of a Q claim with respect to the 2008 RO decision, the 2010 decision, or the board decision from 2012.
Okay. I think we understand your position. Anything else you want to ask the government? Okay, I have some rebuttal, Ms. Ajak.
Your Honors, I think you pretty much made my points for me in your questions and discussion with opposing counsel. So if Your Honors have any further questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. If not, I would concede the rest of my time.
Can you just say a word about our jurisdictional limits and whether those limits would make it improper? What those limits would preclude us from saying about what the paper record seems to reveal?
I think that there is no question of fact here. I think that in the 2019 May board decision, it specifically acknowledges that Mr. Bean raised this issue and then it simply didn't address it. So by acknowledging that it is part of what he says, it says he argued that the board should have considered whether she should have been service connected for depression and anxiety. That is an acknowledgement that that issue was before it and it just ignored it. So I think this court is not going into whether it was a question of the scope of the claim, because the board has already told you what the scope of the claim was. It just didn't address that. So I think we don't even need to get into that part of this court's jurisdiction, because it's just the question of law of did the board and the Veterans Court properly consider its own jurisdiction.
Ms. Ajak, isn't it the case that it appears that in the April 28th, 2021 decision, if I've got the date right, that the remand that the Veterans Court, the single judge order remanding to the board, where the Veterans Court said in that order, you should consider this claim. So the Veterans Court at that point was taking the position that this claim was there, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
But then the judge withdrew that order, took it back, and eventually came out the way she did now, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I see that my time is up. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. That concludes the court's arguments for this afternoon. Thanks to both counsel.